Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. James 1:2. Does that apply to all hardships? What about problems that are your own fault, or when God is chastening you? And how can you consider it pure joy if you know it's a bad thing?
When he says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, he isn't saying, pretend something's true that isn't true. He's not saying that. What James is doing here is showing us how to adjust our beliefs and our values and how to adjust our interpretation of the circumstance of the trial so that it really will result in actual joy. He's using a thinking word, consider it pure joy. He starts with a thinking word because in order to change the way you feel, you've got to change the way you think. That's where it starts. And I've got to say, it would be hard, literally hard for me to overstate how many of our problems come not from our trials, but from our interpretation of trials. The way that we look at suffering and wrong beliefs about suffering and wrong value system connected to suffering. I think I could probably go on for an hour just giving examples of how our inability to interpret suffering biblically is at the root of problem after problem. It's at the root of most relationship problems, most spiritual problems, marriage problems, problems in your prayer life, emotional problems, fear, guilt, depression, anxiety, worry, anger, selfishness, on and on and on. James is going to tell us the right way to interpret suffering. He's going to tell us, interpret it as a test of faith. And then he's going to correct our beliefs about suffering by showing us how this is a good thing. It's good for you. Then he's going to correct our values, because none of that will work until we see the result of suffering, which is perseverance, and we highly value that. If you think of those benefits, I mean, if you see the benefits that come from suffering as the same way that prayer group leader looks at candy, oh, it's nice to have maybe, but no big deal. If that's how you see the benefits of suffering, then none of this is going to work. When God comes to you and says, hey, consider it pure joy when you suffer, because look at these benefits. And you're going to look at the benefits and say, ho-hum, well, that you're not going to be able to consider it pure joy. It won't work unless those things are highly valued in your heart. So James has his work cut out for him, doesn't he? He's got to change our interpretation of suffering. He's got to change our value system. He's got to change our beliefs. Let's see how he does it. And he does it. He doesn't use a lot of words here. James is very compact. It's like the Proverbs of the New Testament. So we have to look carefully at what he says. He begins changing those three things with changing our interpretation. So let's start with interpretation. The starting point in getting joy is to realize what category suffering should fall into in our thinking. You think, however I feel, however things seem, the reality is suffering is a good thing. Whether it feels that way or not, it is. That's reality. Reality needs to trump feeling. It's like suppose you're taking your computer apart, you need to fix the fan, the fan's not working, you're going to take it apart, you're going to repair that fan. So you take it apart, you get to the, but there's this annoying component that's in the way. You can't quite get to the fan because this other component. It's like, I'm just going to bust that thing off and throw it away. It's in my way. And you're about to do that, but the computer expert's standing there and he says, no, don't do that. You need that thing. I know that thing seems really annoying to you, but that's the processor. You can't throw that away. Without that, the computer's useless. That's what makes the computer run. So now you go, that thing is just as annoying as ever, right? But you're thinking of it as a good thing now instead of a bad thing. You're thinking of it as valuable instead of something you want to get rid of. If you're ignorant about computers and you don't know what a processor is, but the one who's standing there, he's an expert, you trust him, he says, trust me, this thing is good, you want that thing. If you trust him, you'll start thinking of that thing as a good thing, even if you don't even know what it is. You're working on your car, alternator's in the way, the guy, mechanic, trust me, you want that. That's your alternator. You don't want to throw that away. Okay, I trust you. I don't know what it is, but I believe you. The medicine tastes terrible. Doctor says, trust me, it's a good thing. It's good. Without it, you'll die. Now you're paying good money to take this horrible tasting medicine because you think of it as a good thing, because you trust it. So the beginning point when it comes to suffering is listen to what God says. When he says, this suffering that I bring into your life, trust me, it's good. It's good for you. Then you think of it as a good thing. One of the biggest favors you can ever do to your children, for your children, is teach them this. Teach them how to properly interpret suffering. You know, we need this. We all come out of the womb just naturally not able to understand suffering. We naturally think suffering is the enemy. And when a child thinks that, and then he's faced with various kinds of suffering, his life gets hard and he can't escape the suffering. Especially he gets into those junior high years when he's got lots of suffering and he's got this mentality, suffering's intolerable, suffering's not permissible, I can't handle suffering, and yet he can't get rid of it. It's just lots of suffering. So many behavioral problems in children come from them just simply not knowing how to handle suffering. They don't know what to do with it. And so they just think, this can't go on. I can't have this suffering, and yet it's going on, and so then they just act out in all kinds of sinful or harmful ways. They think it's intolerable, and they can't escape it, and so they react. And that, for many people, just continues right on into adulthood, right? For all people, really. We think of how many of our sins come from our wrong attitude about suffering. We tell lies. Why do we tell lies? To avoid suffering. We get angry with people when they cause suffering in our lives. We get consumed with worry about future suffering that might happen. We get depressed because we see no way out of our suffering. We make foolish decisions in life just because we want to minimize suffering. We indulge in sins in order to distract ourselves or reward ourselves from suffering or to take a break from suffering. We fail to do things that we know that we should do because they're hard and they would involve suffering. And all of those come from wrong interpretations. Like, imagine, change that illustration with the flowers the other way around. Suppose the flowers are for you. Your husband remembered your birthday. They are for you. He sets them down, and you look at them, and you assume that they're for his secretary, and you get angry. So that's a wrong emotion because it's a wrong interpretation. That's the way we are with our suffering. We look at it like it's a bad thing, and it's a good thing. All those problems can be avoided if we just trust God when he says, look, this is good for you. Trust me.
If all the suffering in your life is good, does that mean you should seek out more suffering? No. You can trust God to take care of giving you however much suffering you need. You don't have to seek it out. In fact, Scripture even teaches us that it's okay for us to seek relief from suffering, as long as we can do so without violating any principles in God's Word. The suffering we're talking about here is the suffering in your life that you can't do anything about right now. Of all the hardships in your life, are there any of them that need some reinterpretation in your heart? You haven't accepted that God knew what he was doing when he put that trial in your path? You can't consider it pure joy because you're still stuck on thinking it's a bad thing instead of trusting the expert in heaven who assures you it's a good thing? Run through the trials in your life right now and remind yourself for each one of them, one at a time, that they are good gifts from God, serving his good purposes, and thank him for that.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.